And now stay tuned for the program that has rated tops in popularity for a longer period of time than any other West Coast program in radio history.
I don't believe it. I don't believe a word of it.
Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more, on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone, and by everyone from Aronson to Zerky. On this evening's show, we're going to take a musical trip to paradise, we'll have some Indian songs, hear about Polly, and celebrate National Donut Day. A couple of weeks ago, I had the pleasure of attending the 29th annual Silent Film Benefit put on by the Catalina Island Museum. The films were accompanied by the wonderful Mont Alto Motion Picture Orchestra, and the other day I got one of the group's CDs titled Cinema, Silent Film Music by J.S. Zamishnik. We're a little late in celebrating his birthday, but John Stepan Zamishnik was born in Cleveland, Ohio on May 14, 1872. He's best known for his photoplay music, tunes composed for use during silent films by pianists, organists, and orchestras. He studied under Antonín Dvořák at the Prague Conservatory in the mid-1890s and returned to the U.S. in 1899, where he worked as a violinist and composer and played in the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. In 1907, he became music director of the Hippodrome Theater in Cleveland, Ohio, and began composing scores for the silent films shown there, which were published by Sam Fox. He also wrote songs, dances, and salon music, often under pseudonyms including Arturo de Castro, Josh and Ted, Jane Hathaway, J. Edgar Lowell, and Lionel Baxter. Before his death in Los Angeles on June 13, 1953, he wrote nearly 2,000 compositions, and his music was played in hundreds of film theaters every night for almost 15 years. I've played a couple of his compositions on the show before, but he's not had his own segment. That changes tonight, although the format is going to be a little different. Each of the first three segments of the show will begin with a Zamishnik tune, which will be the topic for that segment. Confused? Well, so am I, so just listen. Thank you. No lyrics sung in any of those recordings, so have you figured out the topic of that segment? That's right, Polly. We started off with Gerald Mark's Hotel Teller Orchestra and Polly, composed by John Stepan Zamyshnik. The pianist on that June 14, 1927 Columbia recording made in Chicago was Nels Bitterman. Next, it was the Green Brothers Novelty Band with Polly Alley-O, recorded by Edison on July 25, 1923. Polly Alley-O was composed by Ray Henderson, and There Are Words, which were written by Mort Dixon and Billy Rose. We started with Polly, and we ended with Polly. This Polly, a one-step by Jack Richmond, and performed by Murray's Melody Men on a Vocalion 78, made in April of 1920. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. For this next segment, we're going to take a musical trip to paradise, inspired by the second Zamyshnik tune on the show, My Paradise. Here are Waring's Pennsylvanians.
Smiling roses twine. Johnny let me see gosh little glimpse of paradise. Each little kiss fills me with bliss, with every kiss I see gosh little glimpse of paradise. It's very funny how I knew when we met at 2:07. Every evening I spread my wings to find in my blue heaven. I'm happy to be someday when we tiptoe inside to see just a little glimpse of paradise.
My luck to share, we'll find the way to paradise. Hello, my lovely miss, why drive alone and lose the bliss of every kiss that waits for us where romance lies? Only let me sit just near you, into romance I can steer you. And so, my lady fair, take me along, say you'll be mine, 'twill be divine, the way to paradise. We
begin this Paradise set with John Stepan Zamyshnik's tune, My Paradise. That was Fred Waring's Pennsylvanians with brother Tom Waring singing the Harry Care lyric on a Victor 78 made September 12, 1928. Charles Ducky Yontz, Yontz, played and sang with Don Bester's orchestra, but there you heard him on a record under his own name, Ducky Yontz and his orchestra with Just a Little Glimpse of Paradise. That Silvertone 78, sold exclusively by Sears and Roebuck, was made August 12, 1929, and has Ducky's name incorrectly spelled as Yontz. He's also sometimes listed in discographies as Dickie Yontz. Just a Little Glimpse of Paradise was written by Burt Kalmar, Harry Ruby, and Harry Warren. I don't know about you, but I'm wild about horns on automobiles that go... The musical notes C-E-G-E, and so we finished up with a record that begins and ends with that little musical phrase, The Way to Paradise, performed by DeBroy Summers' band. Dan Donovan provided the vocal on that August 14, 1931, Regal 78, and The Way to Paradise was written by W.R. Heyman. I apologize for the major skip in that record, but the rest of it was just too good not to play. I'm told that those four notes are a military bugle call to attention, so I guess it makes sense that they would be on a car horn, warning people to get out of the way. And I believe it's a 1920s Spartan Chime Bugle 6-volt automobile horn that was used in Fred Hall and his Sugar Babies recording of I'm Wild About Horns on Automobiles. The third and final Zamishnik tune on tonight's show is Indian Dawn, to start off an Indian segment. Here's Paul Whiteman and his orchestra. Thank you. A few weeks ago, in a couple of different shows, we played a couple of records by virtuoso whistler Margaret McKee. And there you heard her once again with Ernie Golden and his Hotel McAlpin Orchestra on Indian Butterfly, composed by Henry Lodge and Billy Stone. That Brunswick 78 was made February 26, 1927, and it was also issued on Vocalion as By the Bostonians. Last time I played Oklahoma Indian Jazz was in 2014 by the Benson Orchestra of Chicago, but before Ernie Golden you heard it by Ace Burgod and his Ten Virginians, recorded November 26, 1923, about 3 weeks after the Benson recording. We began that Indian set with Paul Whiteman and his orchestra with Indian Dawn from July 2, 1925. Playing the celesta, as he did on at least four other Whiteman records, was Raymond Turner. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. Last Friday, June 3rd, was National Donut Day. And there's been National Donut Day ever since 1938. National Donut Day was started by the Salvation Army in 1938 as a fundraiser and a way to commemorate the work of what were known as donut lassies, female Salvation Army volunteers who actually fried donuts for American soldiers on the battlefields of France during World War I. They also provided spiritual aid, writing materials, stamps, regular meals, and a link to home and family. So to commemorate the Donut Girls and National Donut Day, here's a set of rapidly rotating records about donuts, beginning with Ham Gravy.
Who pumped and went in my donut? Sure always down by me. Who pumped the wind in my donut? Sat on that yam-yam tree. I wasn't there when the pumping was done, but whosoever pump a pumping son of a gun, who pumped the wind in my donut, sure don't resemble me. Who pumped the wind in my donut, sure don't resemble me. Who pumped the wind in my donut, down on that yam yam tree. I like my donut nice and sweet, but everybody tears them up and down the street. Who pumped the wind in my donut? Sure don't resemble me. Did it, did it, did that, 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 down on that yam yam tree. I like my donuts nice and round, but everybody tears them all over this town. Who pumped the wind in my donut? Sure don't resemble me. Did it, did it, did that, 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 down on that yam yam tree. Now my donuts, they are hard to beat. You eat three there, you can't stand on your feet. Who pumped the wind in my donut? Sure don't resemble me. Did it, did it, did that, did that, did that, did it, did it, did it, did it, did it, did that, did that, did that, down on that yam yam tree. I got donuts all in my house. You eat my donuts, they'll melt in your mouth. Who pumped the wind in my donut? Sure don't resemble me. Now, who pumped the wind in my donut? Sure don't resemble me. I don't know who did it, but whosoever did it, pumped the wind in my donut, sure don't resemble me. Who pumped the wind in my donut, down on that yam yam tree. I wasn't there when the pumping was done, but whosoever pump a pumping son of a gun, who pumped the wind in my donut, sure don't resemble me. Sure don't resemble me.
That it's wrong, but I know they lie, for when they're alone, they dunk on the sly. If you're not a member of this famous club, why, you are simply living in a rut. You'll learn it quickly if you try, but just keep your wristwatch dry when you're dunk, dunk, dunking with a donut. Thank you.
and also was his cake. He surely knew his business, that's how he made his dough. But often he would say to me, here's what I'd like to know. Where do the holes go in doughnuts when we eat the doughnuts up? I've tried to find out the answer ever since Hector was a pup. Now I know where mosquitoes go in winter, and I know it hurts to sit down on a splinter. But tell me, where do the holes go in doughnuts when we eat the doughnuts up?
There you have a couple of novelty records to celebrate National Donut Day. We just heard Jack Kaufman with Adrian Schubert's orchestra, credited as the Rendezvous Cafe Orchestra, on that Crown 78 made on August 6, 1929, with Where Do the Holes Go in the Donuts When We Eat the Donuts Up? Before that, it was Harry Reaser's Six Jumping Jacks with When You Dunk a Donut, Don't It Make It Nice, from July 9, 1926. Cliff Hess wrote the tune, but the arrangement was by Louis Katzman, a name you might recall as the leader of his orchestra, the Anglo-Persians. We started off this donut set with Robert Brown, who was better known as Washboard Sam, and on this particular record was billed as Ham Gravy. That was Who Pumped the Wind in My Donut, and that's probably all I ought to say about that song, other than it was written by Johnny Wilson. Big Bill Brunsey played guitar and Black Bob played piano on that April 3, 1935 Bluebird recording. Washboard Sam was born July 15, 1910 in Walnut Ridge, Arkansas, moved to Memphis in the 20s and on to Chicago in the early 30s, where he died on November 13, 1966. Over the nearly 16 years that I've been doing this show, I've dedicated several segments to friends who have died, and sadly I find myself in that situation once again. You may have heard me mention attending our regular Monday night salon, a group of friends, authors, musicians, and other conoscenti, which of course begs the question, what am I doing there? Anyway, the group has been gathering in Pasadena now for decades for dinner and lively conversation about whatever topics happen to come up, from the mundane to the bizarre. But tomorrow evening's get-together won't be the same, because our friend Bob Burchard won't be there. He died early last Monday morning of complications from a heart attack. Some of you listening knew Bob because he touched many people's lives. He was an editor with Disney Television Animation, a well-known and highly respected film historian, president of the Cinecon Classic Film Festival in Hollywood, board member at Hollywood Heritage, and he directed the cataloging department at the American Film Institute. He was also one of this show's biggest fans. I'm told he often listened to the show while working in his AFI office, and that everyone else who worked there was very familiar with the Rapidly Rotating Records theme song. So, Bob, here's a set of Rapidly Rotating Records I've chosen just for you. I hope you enjoy them. Now, I know you will.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Allow me to introduce myself. I am Dr. Lewis, WFD. You want to know what WFD stands for? World's Famous Dispenser. Dispenser of what, sodas? No, no, no. I'm a dispenser of the greatest thing in the world, ladies and gentlemen, sunshine and happiness. Now, 5 years ago, I guess it was six, No, it was seven, wasn't it, boys?
Eight.
9 years ago, I made this very wonderful discovery, and it's that discovery that I'm bringing here to you folks tonight. Why, one swallow of this famous remedy of mine is known to brace up, cheer up, perk up, and pep up. And a whole bottle is known to turn a crabby old mother-in-law into a laughing hyena. And to show you folks that I'm on the level, I'm going to tell you the recipe of this famous discovery. Now to a day that's long, you just add a little song. And what do you get, folks? What do you get? You get my homemade sunshine. And to a weary trial, oh, say, you add a little smile. That's how I make my homemade sunshine. You mix a little hope and laughter with philosophy, and you add just a spice of make-believing to this recipe. Now that's part of the bill of fare that we all must share to get this wonderful discovery of homemade sunshine. And to the moon above, you add just a little love. Oh, say, that'll give you homemade sunshine. And to a night in June, you just add that wedding tune. And what do you get? Homemade sunshine, Dr. Lewis's famous remedy, folks. And when the womb is at your door, here's how to chase the blues. Why, you turn that womb into a stork, and you spread the happy news. And when those neighbors call, why, you just introduce them all. Oh, do that sweet little homemade sunshine. Yes, sir.
Ah, I won't speak to you from this subject.
Amen.
If a child is no way like its father,
all right,
there's a dead cat on the line.
Great.
They tell me that once upon a time,
uh-huh,
they had some trouble,
yes,
trying to get a message over the telegram wire.
Well,
the company sent a man out to inspect the line.
Uh-huh.
In making his report, he said that he found that a cat had gone up telegraph pole,
yes,
and died on the line.
Yes,
that was the reason why,
uh-huh,
they couldn't get the message over the line.
Amen.
Right.
Now, if a child doesn't favor its father in no way,
yes,
there's a dead cat on the line.
Tell the truth.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
It doesn't matter whether a child favors its mother or not.
Uh-huh.
She knows that it's her child.
Oh, yes.
Now, Sister Bell, doesn't you know your children's father?
Well, yes, I think I know my last two children's father.
Yeah, you think you know.
Yes,
well, you may not know.
Uh-huh.
But if you doesn't know, you got the last word on the question.
Well, I know it.
But I am one man that thinks all children,
mm-hmm,
should favor their father.
God all right.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's showing up.
Well, Brother Pastor, I tell you, I got one child don't feel me at all.
Hmm?
No, sir, don't
feel me. And don't walk like you?
No, sir.
And doesn't talk like you?
No, sir.
Haven't got color like you?
No, sir.
But there's a dead cat on the line.
That's right.
You know, if a man makes a picture for me,
uh-huh,
then it should favor me.
Yeah.
And if not, there's a dead cat on the line.
That's the truth.
All right,
in
then.
Fact, it's not my picture.
Well.
All right.
Now, Sister Jordan, what about you, children?
Hmm?
Hmm?
Well, you asking me too much of my business right here and come. You come to my house and I'll tell you all about it.
Well, I didn't go down to your house before the children was born.
Uh-huh.
And I don't have to go down there now.
God, yes.
This is no secret. The children was born in the world.
Yeah.
And look like you might open your mouth and talk.
Yeah.
Hmm? Let me tell you something.
All right.
A little kitten favors that.
God,
well, tell
me
about it.
Even a little coat.
Yeah.
Favor his dad.
God,
and a little calf favors his dad.
Yeah.
And if there isn't but one roost in the yard.
Yes.
All the little chickens will favor him some way.
Yes, it will.
And if not, there's a dead cat on the line.
So true.
I'll tell you what I saw one time.
Yes.
My mother had a white roost.
Come on, Jason.
And
come
she
on.
Had a black hen.
Uh-huh.
And that black hen hatched out the egg for the white roost.
Yes, sir.
God almighty.
Yes.
There's a dead cat on the line.
Yes,
if a child doesn't fever his father some way,
yes,
he ought to walk like him, talk like him.
All
if
right.
not, there's a dead cat on the line.
So true.
A fun record. I played it at the end of last year, but one can't get too much of the Pickens sisters. There with Ben Sullivan and his orchestra and Nobody Loves No Baby Like My Baby Loves Me. That Columbia recording is from July 14, 1931, but the band also recorded it a week earlier for issue on Columbia's budget labels, with Dick Robertson credited as Jerry Fenwick providing the vocal. Nobody Loves No Baby was written by Walter Donaldson, and it was also recorded by Maurice Chevalier. I had never heard of the Reverend J.M. Gates until 2008, when Bob mentioned his 1928 recording of a sermon of sorts called There's a Dead Cat on the Line, which you heard before the Pickens sisters. According to Cassell's Dictionary of Slang, there's a dead cat on the line is a phrase used when something seems suspicious or not quite right. Reverend J.M. Gates was born in 1884 and was an African-American preacher and gospel singer who, from 1914 until his death in 1941, was pastor of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. He had a very prolific recording career, beginning with Columbia in 1926, but they didn't sign him to an exclusive contract, so he also recorded 84 sides for other labels. Ted Lewis was one of Bob's favorite artists, and so we started off with one of his records I don't think I've played on the show before. That was Homemade Sunshine from October 3rd, 1930. Homemade Sunshine was written by Sammy Fain, Irving Cale, and Pierre Norman, and I could use a little right about now. The last record on tonight's show I haven't played before either. It's by Ted Lewis also, and is from December 16th, 1927. It was written by Con Conrad, Irving Bebo, and Leo Wood, and is titled Good Night. Good night, Bob Burchard. Sleep well. Until we meet again.
Just a kiss, may you fade from my sight. Oh, say, then I'll go. For you'll know that I love you. I love you so. Oh, good night. Sleep tight till the dawn floods the world with its light. Oh, then we'll meet again, my sweet. Good night. And sleep well, dear. For you know, you must be weary. Good night, dear. Again someday, oh say.
I'm Glenn Robison, and you've been listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.